Okay, so talk about the mitzvah, the lav, the prohibition of yobash. It's found in the sixth parsha in Kisese, and seems like a very simple pasuk, very straightforward. But what? What does it mean? Literally, it means you shouldn't wear. Okay. Shouldn't don, but we'll have to discuss that more in depth. Okay, and we'll start by reading the pasuk over here, and that will kick off very intricate and multifaceted prohibition over here. Because it's not as simple as it may seem from a cursory reading of the pasuk, and be much more relevant perhaps than we thought. So the pasuk says, "Lo yiyah kli gever al isha," that a man's clothing should not be worn by a woman. "Lo yilbash gever simla isha," and a man shouldn't wear the garments of a woman. Why not? Pasuk continues, "Ki tayavas hashem lekecha kol oisei eile." Whoever does these things. Is an abomination in front of Hashem. Now what's kol oisei eila? Kol oisei eila means, it sounds like we just enumerated a lot of things, right? All these things, right? Kol oisei eila. All these things that we just spoke are an abomination if one does them. But the truth is, the pasuk didn't really mention a lot. It just mentioned that a person of one gender shouldn't wear the clothing of the opposite gender. So that's something to think about. And in fact, just skipping ahead a little bit, there's a little foreshadowing over here. Now we'll see from the Gemara and the Poskim that in contrast to the superficial understanding of the pasuk, where the Torah is simply telling you you can't wear a woman's garment, a woman can't wear a men's garment, there are more things that are included. And in fact, the Hamas Gavar, within the Sith, asks, where do you see that in this pasuk? This pasuk says you shouldn't wear the clothing of a woman or a man. And where's the remez, where is it hinted to in this pasuk to include other things that we'll see? And the Hamas Gavar suggests in these very words of Kol Eisei Eila. If on one hand we have a pasuk that seems to be very limited in scope and very clear, on the other hand we have a little foreshadowing over here, we have a remnant, we have a hint that more things are going to be included in this. And let's look at Rashi over here. Everybody have that? Rashi says, "V'yetzigevalisha shetehidoma le'ish," in order that if she dons a man's clothing she'll look like a man. And why might somebody do that? Today, Satelech Bein Ha'anoshim. In order that she can mingle amongst the men. Right? She's appearing like a man. He's the access. She'ein Zu Ella L'Shem Neil. For what purpose is this, Rashi says, that somebody would do that? For Neil. For immorality. Okay? For purposes of znut, of immorality. So they're mixing with the opposite sex, and because they look like them, so then it's easy to mingle among them. The pasuk continues, "Zoyil vaskevet simlasisha." That's the contrast, that a man shouldn't wear the clothing of a woman. "Leileich v'leishev ben hanashim," to go amongst the women. Let's see the next Rashi. "Ki te'ava," because it's an abomination. Anybody have that? The bolted words over here, it's an abomination. And here Rashi makes a qualification over here. "Le'asra teira ala lavosh hamedi lide te'ava." Now seemingly, when you hear these words, Dan, that whoever does this is an abomination, what do you think? That the pasuk, the Torah is coming over here to be very severe, which doubtless it is, right? The Torah is characterizing Mr. Joseph this love as something very serious by calling it a toeva, Malchum. On the other hand, Rashi sees a limitation over here, that the Torah is forbidding this only a lavash, only a garment that brings one to Tzoleha. So here we have, and we'll talk about it more coming up, but we have a potential limitation over here that's also being alluded to. Okay, that the seems like the pasuk over here, on one hand we're talking about very serious things, we're talking about things that lead to immorality. On the other hand, these words could potentially lead to limitation in application, because it could be limited to cases, in certain cases where it lends itself to immorality. And obviously, we're not going to decide those things by ourselves. We're going to see from the Gemara and the Poskim potential limitations, and as well as extensions from what the simple pasuk may be meaning. So here we have a duality over here, really. We have a simple pasuk, right, that just talks about wearing clothing. On the other hand, we said already that there's a hint that this may be more inclusive than just wearing the clothing of the opposite gender. Where do we see that? Kol osei ela, whoever does any of these things. And additionally, in Chayavas, Rashi over here says, loy of the Torah ela, the Torah only forbade a lavosh, a garment that brings to Koeva. So clearly, we have to define it, but Rashi is saying that this is a potential limitation. We have a simple pasuk, we have something that hints a broader application, as well as a potential limitation. What's the rationale for this mitzvah? Where do we look to try to understand the Torah's reasoning? Where's a good place? The Sefer HaKinah. Okay, that's the Sefer. It's written by one of the Rishonim, generally ascribed to Ra'ah, but officially anonymous. And he's dedicated to describing the reasons, the rationale of the mitzvah. Misharshei HaMitzvah. What's the reason for this mitzvah? Everybody have that? Laharkis me'am reseinu ha'kadosha dvar erva, to distance from Hashem's holy nation immorality. V'chol inyin v'chol tzad shiya kishman v'asadavar, in any way, in any manner that one could be tripped up in such a way. Matsumi taikai found from this Torah's commandment. Shalahavitseinu herfitinu min hazima. Why can Hashem just let us be? Why did He make us? Why did He give us these mitzvahs and these avers? Because He loves us. Because of His love for us, He wants Him to make those aspects of immorality and things like that very far from us. Shehudavar mechur b'yaiser. The very disgusting things, immorality. V'yikach leiv ha'adam. It steals a person's heart. It kind of robs his intellect, his gravitas, his seriousness. And we know people like this, okay? You could think for just for purposes of illustration, somebody that's taking drugs, right? They're not a reliable, responsible person. You hire such a person to run your company, or to babysit your children. Okay, so Arias morality also has that aspect. Umadicha midarach teva. It makes them abandon the way of goodness, the machshava rutsuya, and the desired way, the derech ra umachshava shoshtot, into the way of wickedness and foolishness. Continues the chinuch. The ain safik ki in yu malbushi anashim v'anashim shavim. It's a certain thing. Men and women are wearing the same clothing. There's no distinction between them. That will lead that she is arvu elu in elu tamid. they'll mingle together. Malayar is Zima, and the world will fill with immorality. So the first Tom of the Chinuch is that what? That the Torah forbade a person to wear the clothing of the opposite gender because it leads to immorality. Simple. Okay? He goes amongst the opposite gender, he's incognito, and that leads to arayah, to immorality. The Od Amu B'tam Mitzvazu. Another reason, Shehibar Harchet Kol Inin Avay Zara. Shadarkim Shal Aydei Avay Zara Haya B'kach. That the idolaters, they would actually do this. They would don the clothing of the opposite gender, and that this was a behavior that was closely associated with idol worship. And since the Torah wanted to distance us from idol worship, he forbade this. This reason is found in no less Masarti than the great Rambam.
We have two reasons.
Two reasons.
One is milk, and the other one is
Avodah Zarah. Those are two out of the three cardinal sins. Okay? What's this missing over here, Pastor said? It's bloodshed. That could be all me what immorality and idolatry lead to. Okay, so here we're talking about some serious things. Okay? And there could even be potentially, maybe we'll get to this, somebody suggests on one of the great places a nafkamina la halacha, a distance what the law might be dependent on these two potential reasons. So the chinuch brings in summary, two reasons for this mitzvah. Either to distance us from arayah, from immorality. If a person's wearing the clothing of the opposite gender, they're going to easily mix among them, and that's going to lead to bad things. Or that this was a behavior that was closely associated with idolatry. Okay.
Why is it with idolatry?
That's what they used to do. People that practice idolatry, they would actually do this. Prostra, yeah. That's a good question. Why do they do that? So it's hard to kind of understand idolatry b'chol eisen, right? But Chazal teaches us that a lot of avodah zarah, this one surprised us, was related in one way or another to immorality. So there is a link, a fundamental link between idolatry and immorality. We find that with the B'nai Samayim, right? Okay, so there is a connection between them. The Shulchan Aruch brings down, and again, we spoke about this one for the pasuk that it may be not limited just to wearing clothing, and that's what we see over here. Mavir sar beis hashachi ubeis ha'erva. If somebody removes, he shaves the hair of his armpit or the genital area. Afilu the misurayim ke'impar. Even if he cuts it, not just cuts it in, but cuts it down, okay? Hayumachne se matas marzus, that's aser, and he gets matas. Okay, so that's forbidden. Here we see a clear extension from the pasuk, right? Fred, where do we see that? This person is not donning something. Yeah, he's not wearing something, right? He's doing something that a woman does. It's considered something that that women used to do specifically. Okay, we're gonna get there. Okay, good. Yeah, that's an important factor. Yeah, that's an important factor in this law. Now, we don't always see that play a role. It's something that makes a very interesting aspect of this law. Like, if somebody eats a chazer, not because he enjoys the taste of pig, but he's supposed to eat protein, and that was what was on sale. And Giants, is that mutter?
I guess it's some kind of...
No, of course not. and doesn't make the distance quite as intentional, eating chazer is forbidden. Okay, but here, interestingly, we will see, okay, that at least according to some poskim, that intention does have a significant role.
A case in point, I have a brother who used to lift weights.
Oh, wow.
And in order to oppose, they wanted him to shave his whole body. And he told him, he didn't want to, but the only reason that he didn't think it was the right thing to do.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody is like a swimmer, right? They certainly on the Olympic standard, they may also shape. So we'll see that. Okay, Dan.
And that's abomination is a really strong word.
Yeah.
A man can be around other women the same way he doesn't have the process to be around other women.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between the morality one way which versus one? One man can be around 20 women dressed as a man.
Yeah.
Dressed as a woman around 20 women.
Yeah.
The same, he's doing the same exact thing with the cross dressing part.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm following that.
Yeah.
So he's the morality. The guy who's not cross dressing is thinking the exact same thing as his friends. It's cross dressing.
Yeah.
So what's the difference in the rest? So why is one an abomination? One is doing the exact same thing other than the other.
Well, potentially if somebody's mingling with women, in order for morality, so that could be an abomination too, right?
But they're only talking about the question. They're talking about the regular guy.
This is a specific action that somebody has been taking to put himself in that situation. Right? Somebody just has had a kid and finds himself around women, conducting himself appropriately. When I'm talking about that, I'm talking here about somebody that's insinuating himself, right, amongst women, for
the
potential purpose. Yeah, and also, exactly, he's looking like a woman. So, a lot of times, when he's a man, there'll be like a natural barrier. Here, he's looking like a woman, he's an undercover man. Okay? So the Shach makes the point over here. Let's look at the Shach. The Shach of the great commentators on the Shulchan Aruch in Yardea. Hayimakim Mishum Vayovat Gevus and Latisha. That's the lav over here. Shadarshu Chazal, the sages darshan. The lav dafka simlas isha. It's not specific. So wearing the garment of the isha. Elahu adin shar tikune isha lenoi uviyati. Even other actions that a person does to beautify himself and enhance his appearance are also forbidden. So this seems like quite an expensive. Okay? He's not wearing anything. Okay, but he's doing ladylike things. The Shach continues, says L from the Kufman Vav, the face inside the Utter Leish, Lestakal bin Mare. It's forbidden for a man to gaze in a mirror, Ishim lo yulbash gever simlas isha, because of this love. Okay? Well, see, the Ramah will qualify this, okay? Don't get so nervous. Okay, before you get nervous, you have to stay to the end of the shiur. Okay? But that was something that specifically women used to do, and not men. Yeah, we have to know what that means, but I don't know if he what?
What do you have a situation for Shulam Bayis? You have a wife and wife says,
everything's mostly for Shulam Bayis, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so
it's a border on people up in the fashion sometimes. Right.
So you have a situation, you know, thank goodness I haven't had it, but I've heard that a wife
Your friend.
I say, you know, why don't you put a little tinge in your hair so the white doesn't show.
Oh wow. Okay, we're gonna get there. That could be serious.
and you say, I don't want to.
That could be serious. Okay, we'll see that.
Okay.
So here we see that it's not only wearing clothing, but it's doing acts of beautification. It's also included in this law and forbidden. And what exactly the parameters of that we'll see. Looking in the mirror, that's something that's very common. In fact, we'll see later that the Ramah, so please don't be nervous, actually permits it explicitly because of that. But nowadays, okay, men also look at the mirror, and that's very prevalent. Okay. So how about if somebody only wears one garment of a lady of the opposite gender? So, well, they wear high heels for the ladies. Okay? Or they're wearing a blouse. It's obviously a woman's blouse. But they're still wearing the three-piece suit. So one could say, Sammy, that this person doesn't, overall, his appearance doesn't look like a lady because ladies don't wear three-piece suits. So there's other garments that kind of give them away. One could potentially make a case, Mr. Joseph, that could be mutter.
There was a case in point.
Yeah.
Last week, I think it was an intelligence, and I don't remember the newspaper, where there was a gentleman who dressed with a nice suit and all, but he wore high heel shoes.
Oh. So if it's men's shoes that have high heels, he's a very stylish fellow. Okay. And that would be permitted. If it's lady shoes, that could be a problem.
He lost.
Certainly, if he's running to catch the bus, but
he was fired.
Yeah, that would be potentially a serious flaw right there. Okay. So the Kippur Shulchan Aruch, and this is found in the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, Kufi Beis. Also, the East Lova Shatilu Malbus Echad Shel Isha. Even one garment is forbidden. Afal Pishu Hu Nikra B'Shamal Busham Shui Is. Even though it's obvious, right, his other clothing gives it away that he's a man, still nonetheless, law applies and he's in violation of the prohibition. Okay, sometimes you'll have garments that are unisex. They're not specific, they're not gender specific. What do you say about that? Mr. Ramsey, what do you say? Is that... I'm sure there could be lots of things like that. Yeah. Well, one could say, potentially, right, well, he could, you know, mingle like that, right? Maybe the Torah thing, you have to wear gender-specific clothing. It has to be man clothing. Do you have a raya? There is a raya. There's a gemara over here. This is on Darim. Mem Tav Samad Beis. 49b. Listen to the story, Dan. Rabbi Yehuda, I think this is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. He was very poor. Okay. And he didn't have a full wardrobe, say like we do, even the kind of most modest amongst us, right? We have a couple of pair of pants, right? A winter jacket, a summer jacket, so on and so forth. The Bisho de Rabbi Yehuda, the wife of Rabbi Yehuda, Nafkis, she went out, Nafkis Amra, she procured some wool, Abdu Galima de Hutsi, and she made from it a garment. She had one garment in the house. Kad Nafkis Meshuka Mechaz Gidei. When she would go out to the shops, to the marketplace, she would take this garment that was called, and she would don herself with it. The kanafik of Yehuda was Sluye, when the Yehuda left the house, he went to shul, to daven, have a michsi umatsi, the kan michsi day. Okay, so he would take this, when he would go out, and he would take this very same garment, when he needed to go out. So here you have a clear pass from the Gemara. The Gemara isn't specifically coming to talking about this. It's talking about, I think, in context, how poor they were. But the point is that you see from here, can see from here that it's the unisex garment. It's not specific, gender specific. Then it's mutter, or else how could Rabbi Yehuda and his wife both wear the same garment? Yeah, that is discussed. I didn't, you know, there's almost endless amounts of things that could be discussed, and that is something that is discussed as relates to the sugya. But I didn't prepare that for our purposes. Okay, now this gets involved in Mr. Landy's question. I asked Sam before. Asked him a situation like this. You're in a restaurant. Dan, I spoke to you about this. And it's a little chilly. You're there with your wife. You're there with your wife. You know she's a little chilly, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
You're very chivalrous. Right? What do you do? Tell us what you do, Fred. The gentleman. Everybody here is a gentleman. Right?
Call her a tough it out.
This is being recorded, Fred.
I'm my jacket.
You take off your jacket, right? And you give it to her, or you tape it around the shoulders. And then it occurs to you, Mr. Joseph, that may be what? Well, Tobas. That could be like handing her, because she's hungry, a piece of chazer. Oh, you're hungry? Here's a ham sandwich. Would you do that to your wife? Would you give your wife a ham sandwich? Because she's hungry? And she doesn't want a ham sandwich. And she doesn't want to be in violation of those sobas, just because she's a little chilly. We're not talking over here, obviously, if it's because of the fashion. Okay, if somebody's life is in danger, then obviously it would be mutter. So you didn't think of that. Right? It's just a jacket, and all of a sudden it occurs to you. Let me give you a different question. This happened to me. I had a guest over at my house with Thomas. He was actually a potential candidate as a cold scholar. And we invited him and his wife and family to Shabbos just so we could get to know each other a little better and see if it was compatible. And it started to rain and pour over Shabbos. And he did not bring his raincoat with him. So there we are, we're about to go to shul, and it's raining cats and dogs. Okay? I only have one raincoat. Okay, maybe some of the stylish folks around the table have a couple of different raincoats. Okay? But I only have one, and this fellow didn't have a raincoat. So he was, you know, considerably shorter than I, and I thought, hey, maybe I could use my wife's raincoat. And the question was, is that little soapbox or not? Now the truth is, let me just tell you, a potential Kohl's scholar is coming to the Rosh Kohl's house really does not want to wear the Rosh Kohl's, you know, wife's raincoat under any circumstance. Okay? So he just demurred, okay, the color is in. Yeah. Well, it's not. Well, you could stay home. You don't have to go to shul, right? It's not changing your life, right? He wants to do it. Well, that doesn't necessarily permit it. What? Dan, take it away. You can't wear the raincoat. Why?
We saw already that the post can say even one jacket, even if it's a snicker.
But it's raining cats and dogs outside. This guy's from out of town. Right?
Right, but he doesn't have to do it.
Well, you're talking about, is it obvious or not? Not what you have to do.
It's not obvious because you look like exactly what you're testing. You know, it does not look like you're out of
control. Okay.
Looking at what she's holding, she's wearing a jacket that's probably a completely different size. She's sitting in perfectly the same shape.
Okay, that's good. Anybody else? So Dan, what do you think?
Watch soon get wet in your suit, so what? Water.
Okay, you could be a tough guy, that's fine. But our question is it mutter or is it upstairs? No, thumbs down. Thumbs down from you, Fred, too? It's okay, thumbs up. Well, what's your rationale for that?
One time.
It's only one ham sandwich.
No, it's just the circumstance of the rain. If it wasn't pouring, I don't know.
A one-time dispensation. What is he with the gift? What are you feeling here? You know, you're relying on the rabbi? I mean, you know, he has a Mandarin code?
What is he with the guest speaker?
The guest speaker. I don't know if that's going to make a difference. Yeah, even if he's an important fellow. What do you say, Sam?
You've been quiet. An underlying question.
Yeah.
Let's go back a little bit more. We go back a little. Let's not talk about a radio. Let's talk about a pair of socks.
Nobody's going to see.
A woman's socks. They're covered, wearing shoes. Is that from the socks? Would that be the most important question? We're not, there's no hiding, there's no involving with, you know, hair of us. So,
okay, so the postman, I believe, are clear about this.
Yeah.
Assuming that socks were gender specific.
Right.
And you could say like black, two socks or not, whatever, but
black.
Assuming that they are gender specific,
right,
and just nobody could see them because they're in the privacy of your own home or they're in your shoes, I believe the post come out unequivocal that that's prohibited nonetheless.
So it's absolutely also to wear wrinkles.
Wow, okay. So let's say your sock case that would be permitted. How would that permit the raincoat?
The dot, the black raincoat, maybe it looks exactly like a man's coat.
Oh, it looks like a man's coat. That's a different thing. Here you're talking about that nobody could see it. There's a difference between a garment that doesn't look gender-specific to hiding a gender-specific garment,
right? And what if your wife's coat looks exactly like yours?
Okay, so that's a very good point. That's a very good point. Just because a woman owns something, and that gets back to what we just spoke, the Yehuda. And this is a little bit difficult. This is tricky, practically speaking. You know, because, you know, my wife's wrinkles, at least at that time, the way I remember it, it wasn't something that was very specifically feminine looking. A lot of times they have the buttons on opposite sides. I don't know. You know, you have to know if that makes it gender specific or not. That's a good try. So Sammy is saying something that let's see if the garment is gender specific or not. It could potentially have a header. Okay, if it's not gender specific, if it's like unisex. So that is one factor for sure. Okay, but there's a more fundamental factor over here that the postman discussed, and this has broad application potentially. Okay, so let's turn the page over here. Top of page 2. And the Torah says, Lo tilbat isha begadim ham yuchadim le'ish l'fi minit ha-melchem. A woman may not wear the clothing of a man if it's specific in that place. Okay? The Bach, one of the great super commentaries on the Torah, says, Divrei Rabbeinu b'din zeh sumim. The words of the Torah over here are cryptic. The mashma, that it sounds from the words of the Torah, the b'chol inyan aser, that in every circumstance is forbidden to wear the clothing of the opposite gender, the enai kein, but it's not so. Aliyeh heter b'shnei devarim, there is heter, it is permissible in two circumstances. We're going to focus on the first circumstance that I brought down over here. Ha'echad, listen to this. She'ain iser afilu bezavar shehu noy v'kishav, even if it's enhanced your appearance and to beautify you. Ella in Cain Beisa Haloveshas Big Beish, only in a circumstance where the woman is wearing the clothing of a man, Lihisdamos Liish, to look like a man, Beisa Halovesh Big Beish Lihisdamos Liisha, and the opposite, the man is wearing it to look like a woman. Aval in Lovshin Kide Lahagin Bibne Hachama, Bimay Sachama, but if he's wearing it to protect from the sun, we must have the shaman, they have the shaman. Or he's wearing a garment to protect himself from the rain. He's the guest of somebody's house, and he left his raincoat. Ancient is, so there's no prohibition there. He can wear it. According to the Bach, it would be permissible, even Sammy, even Mr. Joseph, if the woman's raincoat was pink, and obviously a woman's coat, because here we're introducing a new factor, and if she's doing it for a different purpose, this is really extraordinary, because like I said before, we don't have this in a lot of lavin, you know, if somebody's doing something from a different purpose, but that makes it mucker. So too, exactly. So too, in that situation, let's go to the restaurant. I don't want you to get lost there, Fred. Start thinking about the all this thing. But just for purposes of getting back to the question, let's transport ourselves back to the restaurant. According to the box, it would be permissible, okay, to give your wife your jacket. Why? Because that is because the purpose of warmth, of protection. Do we hold by the Bach? That's a very good question. Let's see the next Maramachim over here, the Shach. The Shach quotes this Bach, and he says, the Ein Devar of Mukrach and Kolkach. The words of the Bach aren't so clear, okay? It's a big chiddush. It's not a thing, you know, it's not so simple.
It's the boss, one person, and it's one person.
Yeah. The Taz, what does the Taz say? The Taz, incidentally, was related to the boss. How so? The Taz was the boss's son-in-law. And you quote them often, look at the Taz, Mari Chami, okay? Now they do argue, but over here the Taz says this far, he says, Mashma Derech Ider V'kisha Asa, he's going on the words of the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, it's Mashma from his words, that it's only Asa if you're doing it to beautify yourself. Tavim also came with Ne'achama, Sina, Ogeshamim, if you do it because of the hot, and the cold, or the rain, Ein Ister, there's no prohibition. Cain nearly Pasha. It's self-evident to me that this would be permissible. Now we have a machlokas over here. There's a lot of achronim that weigh in. And it's not so clear. Le'in in halacha, I thought, what are we going to do with le'in in halacha? This is very nogea. Right? We just gave two examples that could be very everyday occurrences. But I saw quoted in the name of Rabbi Sobelski, who was a great place, contemporary place, who passed away this past year. He says that you could rely on the Bach in exigent circumstances. So, you know, those cases would apply. If it's exigent, you know, if there's no ASA, there's nothing else to do. So in that, I think that circumstance would qualify. You know, it's legitimate to go to shul on the Shabbos, right? There's no other possibility of procuring a raincoat. But if somebody had a raincoat, let's say, for example, a different raincoat, and they could wear that just as easily, so then that would be preferable. Or let's say you have to, you know, spend a couple of minutes looking for it, you know, to do that too. Okay, but if there's no Isa, when he's in a difficult circumstance, then he can rely on the Bach, and there's a lot of applications for this. Okay, hair dyeing, Mr. Joseph, this was your question before. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch talks about this explicitly in Kufay Beis, where these halachas are found. This is our next halacha. Also, the East Alakim Afilu Sar Echab Lazan Vitechas Kari. It's forbidden for one, you know, when you become an old man like me, all of a sudden you start seeing the white hair appearing up. Okay? So Mr. Joseph, when you get old like me, you know.
I understand that situation.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you know, you're brushing your teeth, right? And you're looking in the mirror, and you see the white hair. It's like, it's kind of disconcerting. Brushing my teeth, I said that. We'll get back to that. Okay.
Hair color for men and hair color for women.
Yeah. So that's a little nerve-wracking, right? That first white hair, right? It's like staring at you and mocking you. So what do you say, Mr. Joseph? You say, I'll teach you a lesson or two, right? You say, I'll teach you a lesson, you call that hair, right? And move your hands to pluck it out. That is forbidden. Okay, just what they
need to take out with the gray hair.
Yeah, it's forbidden. Why? What's the iftar? Mishum layul bashkever. If you did it on Shabbos, by the way, that would be an iftar derived from gozi. So here we're talking about during the chol.
Did you say you couldn't color it also?
We'll see, that's the next thing. The chain also the east was very of Sire Levanis, Yushachare. Likewise, it's forbidden to dye your white or gray hair black. Afilu Sar Achav, even one hair. Yeah, because there's something that related to it there, right? They dye their hair, that's very common, and for men that's prohibited. Now the question is, what happens if you'll have somebody that their hair turns white very prematurely? Sometimes you'll have a kid in your high school class. He has a lot of gray or white hair. And it's embarrassing. There's busha. There's embarrassment. Or it could hurt his opportunity for employment. Let's say somebody, they're 32, right? They're full of vigor, right? They can work during the prime of their life. But their hair turned white prematurely and makes it look like they're 64 instead of 32. So potentially they're concerned that a potential employer is going to look at them and say, yeah, I'm looking for some young folks over here. You're too old for the construction work.
He had a good case in the EEO. In fact, that's when the EEO and he could claim discrimination.
Okay, I know. You're answering the question like a real Washingtonian.
Yes.
Okay. Hit him with the discrimination suit.
He would win his case.
Okay. But maybe he doesn't want to go through that. He just wants a job. But he wants to save himself from embarrassment. Now, let's say it's difficult to keep kosher. It costs money to keep kosher, right? Or your coworkers are going to make fun of you, right? There, everybody's they're ordering takeout in the office, and you have your little a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your brown bag. Is that mutter? That's too hard. They're going to make fun of me. No, those aren't the tarim. So what do you say over here, Dan? I'm not going to just permit this for someone. You know, someone's going to make fun of you. There'd be nothing left, right? What? Maybe it's okay. Can you tell me why?
He's strong the other way and I was wrong. What question?
I can't say that you were wrong. Your position was well articulated in many great people.
I didn't realize that you couldn't color it some time or often going on.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that maybe it's not probably
okay. Anybody else? Sam, oh, you're chopping at the bit over here.
Men in a muscle. What if they're generally doing that? All the men share color their hair? It's not just the women. It's probably, they know a lot of people who lose their hair also.
That's a good question.
People lose their hair for real.
Yeah.
And you can say a wig is not, but they're allowed
yeah.
to do that. Probably, I don't know. A man can wear a wig.
Yeah.
And that's for an appearance.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the same.
Well, Sammy's saying something, and this we definitely see this in the studio. This factor is accepted, you know, undeniably that. You know, I saw contemporary spots, for example, like wearing a pink shirt. Like 50 years ago, men did not wear pink shirts. So that would be automatically, that's a woman's garment. But now, right, it's not that unlikely. Dan, you have a couple of pink shirts in your closet.
They're very stylish.
They're very stylish. Right, they were like, they're very, a couple of years ago, right? Everybody was wearing pink, okay? Not one? Wow. Okay. It's Pepe already. It's not style anymore. Dan doesn't have one. So, but it is interesting. I didn't see in this halacha, I mean, seemingly offhand, that could be a rationale that would apply to this. I didn't see anybody that mentioned it over here. I'd have to think about that. If this might be different for some reason. But seemingly, if men, it was very prevalent for men to dye their hair, anything. That could be a reason to permit it. That's something to think about. To permit it if it's prevalent that men do it.
All of a sudden, men start cross-dressing. There's a lot of men.
No, whoa. No. No.
But that's the issue with it, you know.
If men start doing Dvar Masurim, that doesn't make it permitted. We're talking here if men do something that used to be exclusively something that women do, but now became something that men do too.
Like pink shirts.
Right? Like looking in the mirror, wearing pink shirts. That's not... We're saying this is something that men do now. We're not saying that if men act like women, that's not going to change the halacha. Because that's what the Torah was forbidding.
Well,
right?
If it was forbidden in the first time, all of a sudden people start doing it. It was forbidden, maybe. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
In a minute.
Yeah.
It was forbidden. All of a sudden, well, it was forbidden, then it's not forbidden, but it was forbidden.
Yeah.
You have to tell us what he's forbidden before someone.
But, so Dan is hitting on the Rashi asked this question. Okay. He asked the question, how could something, if something used to be for a woman, now a man does it, like, how did it, who was that first person that did that? Right? Who was this trendsetter? He was the first person to don the pink shirt. The Rashba actually, I think, I believe he says that person did something not right, and therefore he can't change the law. Okay, however, the Pesha learns that we're talking about Goyim. But they kind of, you know, they, you know, that first guy, he didn't have the sister, right? And they kind of eventually eroded, you know, the boundary, you know, for this action, and then became public. Well, that's a good point. That's apparently what the Rashba holds. The Rashba says, you don't look at at what the Gentile's conduct is not going to define the conduct for the Jews. So that's a kind of a very interesting topic over here, how we define what's prevalent and what's not. Okay? But let's look, so there's Eglis Meish over here, and there's a Minchas Shloim over here, and they both say, we're not going to be inside, because I want to touch on a few other things, that if a person dyes their hair, now, he does make a caveat over here, if you're fooling your employer, if you really are 107, okay, and you're trying to make yourself look, okay, like you're 28, okay, so that's not permitted, that's a kosher mitzvah ister. You're fooling him, right? It's like telling somebody the guy thinks he's buying a Lexus, right? And you're really giving him a Chrysler, that's going to have stopped, right? So that would be forbidden because of that. But assuming that, let's say he just, his hair, you know, gray or white and prematurely, so he's just looking, you know, his age, then it would be permitted to dye your hair for that purpose. Or if you're embarrassed. Why? I think it's the same rationale as the Bach. Because you're not doing this to look like a woman, you're doing this for other reasons, for embarrassment or for parnassa. So you kind of have this this heter that's baked into this love, that if it's done for other reasons, it's mukher.
So if you had like a mustache and you just had some white hair that looked out of place because it was white in the wrong place,
sure. I mean, you don't have to leave, you know, when you're shaving your beard, you don't have to leave, you know, only cut the black hair, leave the white hairs growing out, you know. But you can't, isolate those, target them specifically. Okay? This medical trauma that Papa Zan is also talking about plastic surgery. There's no really act of self-beautification. Right, that's more dramatic than that. But let's say he says somebody has a very, very large nose. They're embarrassed. And they have a deformity. So he says that for the same reason. He's not doing that right, to make themselves beautiful. He's doing that to look more normal. Thank you.
I know you're not going to get to it, but it's very relevant. Or something like a deodorant.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it for the purpose of the smell, so that it's for a medical reason, say, men's deodorant, you're allergic to
it. Yeah, sounds like you would, according to this.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
If you're doing it for the purpose of the sense.
Right. That sounds like it would be an application.
Similar to that.
Yeah. So next we have the next Marmot, this is page 3. This is actually in the first Halacha. And we alluded to it before, looking in the mirror, the Shulchan Aruch in your day of Kufay Beis, in Hokel or Sholbash, says it's forbidden to look in the mirror because that was an action that women would do. But the Ramah, over there, says, look what I said in Kufnan Vav, okay? And in Kufnan Vav, the Ramah is very clear that it's looked as there's no problem to look in the mirror. We can see that inside. Okay, Hagah. Everybody see that? The Ramah, page 3. He says, V'yishayim m'had v'at v'lirus d'mara, not that it's forbidden to look in the mirror, ha'inu d'afku b'makam d'ingarach v'lirus d'mara. Rakhnasha, that's only in a place where only ladies are accustomed to look in the mirror. V'isbe nisham v'yul bat gever, and therefore it's forbidden. Abu makam shadarach ha'nasha m'lirus tamkin d'mara, but in a place where it's prevalent for men to look in the mirror, then it is mutter. Okay, so here we have a thought about the mirror and a more general concept that if something that was exclusive to women becomes not specific anymore, but prevalent by men too, so then there's no iftar. Purim. People dress up. What happens if you want to dress up like Esther Malka? Come on, Fred.
No.
Kids do this a lot. Okay, kids are bali chiyuv. They're obligated to this if they're of age, right? And they want to dress. They want to. Your daughter wants to dress like Mordechai and Tzadik, right? Your son wants to be like Vashti for some reason. Okay. So the Ramah says this is found in the Ramah himself. Umashinavu lobos patu from the Purim. That's that people have the custom to dress up on Purim. The gown, the gever lobi simlas isa, the isa to gever, and they wear the opposite gender clothing. Ain isa the davar. It's not forbidden. They asa she'in mechavnen alusim chabalmos. They're only doing it for purposes of rejoicing. This is also drawing on the reason of the ba. Sechim belevisha koin derabana. The yesh onim the asu, they're those that say it's forbidden. Aval aminish kvarishana, but the minish is like the first position that it's mutter. Okay, the Mishnah Brura, he quotes the Taz, the name of the Bach, that's not so happy about this minute. Now remember, the Bach was really the primary source that permitted wearing the opposite gender clothing in circumstances where it's for a different purpose. But when it came to applying that for Purim, he wasn't so happy. The Bach felt that was too far. Well, the Mishnah Brura brings him down over here, and he says that we should, you know, nullify this minig, whether it be on Purim or the Chasam, if people dress up. Okay? And he says if it's only one malbosh, if it's only one garment and a snicker, then perhaps you could let them do it. You're not Meicha. That's from the Prima Gadim. And he quotes from the Shem Tzadgal, Mishlah, Shehizhiru Laharshat Mizah, from the great Achronim. They warned against this behavior. So there's a big discussion in the Paiskim. Some say that it's permitted based on using the Bach. The Bach himself doesn't like the application to Purim. The Rambam permits it. The Mishnah Berurah brings down those that it's not such a good idea. If it's one garment, okay, then and still nicker, right, that he belongs to the gender that he looks like the gender he belongs to, then it could be mutter. Okay. Now this is maybe one of the most exciting questions, okay, about the shofar. Firearm.
Is it a fireman?
Not a fire, not being a fireman. Carrying gun, packing heat. Well, let's look at the pasuk over here. This is actually a Gemara's Mefurish in Nazir, and I'm not just from the Aleph. I'm a Lezmer ben Yaakov Omer. Minayin slotesi isa b'kli zayin l'melchamer. I think a woman should go out armed for battle. Tamalim aliyah together al isha. So he learns together, not just as a garment, but as armament, as weapon. In fact, Unkelos, Targum Unkelos on the side of the Chumash, a great commentary that transcends Torah into Aramaic, he actually translates the pasuk like that. Lo yehi kum zin, the gvar al itza, a woman shouldn't have weapons.
So I'm thinking
that's the way he translates the pasuk. So the question is nowadays, okay, can a woman have heat? That's something that a man does. Sam says, in a case of the club, there's no question about that, right? Any law except the big three would be mutter in Kuach Nefesh. But let's say just having a gun in your house, the people that, right, millions of Americans have guns in their homes, right? No one wants to have a gun in their home. Not because there was Pikuach Nefesh, it's every situation is nervous, but maybe so it's not Pikuach Nefesh, right? You under that, you're in a situation where Pikuach Nefesh, that would be remote. So if Mike is talking about this, his question is, in places in Israel became a settlement, okay, and you have Arabs over there that are taking aim at you about this, but it's a very serious situation. And the question was, the women be armed? It doesn't make a difference what type of gun they use, you know, some are heavier and they're more sophisticated than men. So of Moshe, we could just look at the first sentence of the Etim Medina. This is after he has a long piece about it. The last paragraph. Pashut. It's obvious to the Makomos, the Karv, the Arvi, and Harotkim. Shain Urayim, they on this next song. That the Arabs that are intent on murdering us, Mais Bechoyom, like we read in the papers every day. Mutaros Hanashim Lisa Kli Zion. It's permitted for the women to carry arms. He goes on to say, even if it's not mamish, people have to fush it, if it's the word of a physical harm, it would be mukher to them. He seems to learn that the iser is not just carrying arms, but going out to battle. That's not something that woman like. Okay, that's the associated with men folk. But he says, in a place where there's peace and harmony and there's no danger, then it would be forbidden. Yeah. So we touched on a lot of different halachas, and anything halacha or maisa, you should speak to your local rabbi, but Mahadu Peru Havira, we try to touch on some interesting aspects of this halacha, and hopefully elucidate a little bit.